Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Doug Flutie, Heisman Trophy winner, color analyst on Notre Dame, former Bears quarterback, I think people forget, is in Minneapolis and joining us now. Doug, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. That's quite the intro, guys.
Our production staff there. This is your life, Doug Flutie. Big fans here.
So let me ask you, do you look at Tom Brady and you think, like, God, that guy hasn't had a career at all. He hasn't played nearly enough years. How can we consider him so great?
No, I just look at Tom and I think, this guy could play till he's – I played till I was 43. And, you know, people start talking, oh, he was in his late 30s. Oh, Tom's getting old. Tom's not getting old because all – I played till I was 43, but I had to be able to make people miss to play the game the way I played it. Tom just needs his arm and his head. He can play as long as he wants, and he's getting better every year.
Doug, when you had a front row seat to seeing a much younger Tom Brady and a much younger Bill Belichick go about their business, what did you see then and compare that to going on their seventh Super Bowl now? Did you know then that because of the way they went about their business, success was going to follow them?
Yeah, they were already Bill and Tom by then. They'd won three championships or three Super Bowls. And, I was just hanging on Tom's coattails hoping he'd win me a ring. But it was like the work ethic is what hit you. I mean, just nonstop. Tom and I would meet early in the morning. We would be the first ones in and, dictated by Tom, of course. And Bill, the same way, no stone unturned type of guy. It was just different. He surrounds himself. If you're not a smart football player, you're not going to stay with the Patriots very long. He's going to challenge him mentally. He's going to put everyone in a position to push them as hard as they can, or he can, to make them learn every aspect of his offense or his defense and be a part of it. Tom had a knack for just making everybody feel like they were important. You know, he'd make every guy in the locker room feel like he was the reason we won last week. Or he'll go up to the guy on the scout team and tell him what a great job he did during the week. Things like that. And just it was really fun to be around and almost intimidating because they held you to their standards. And, I was at the end of my career and starting to lose my enthusiasm a little bit. But that's one of the things that's pretty amazing about Tom. Is at 40 to stay as connected as he is and as competitive as he is and engaged. It's just amazing.
What's interesting, Doug, is when we hear talk about him as a teammate, he's a grown man. He's got kids. He's in a totally different life space than a lot of the guys he's playing with. And you went through that yourself. What is the key to remaining close to guys that are half your age?
A lot of sacrifices at home because you feel this, it's just you feel the need to, as soon as you can get out of there, get home to your wife and kids, see the kids, be home. Because, once the season starts, you're in lockdown. You're there all day long. There's no real days off, especially for a quarterback. So it becomes tough. And, a lot of, like, Drew Brees will still have the guys, the receivers and running backs over the house to watch film one night a week, early in the week. And things of that nature, it's just harder and harder to do once you become a family guy or, and have kids and responsible. You'd love to get to the kids' soccer game or running people around. It's just there's a lot of sacrifices that are made.
What do you think Nick Foles is going through? Because you were always a guy that people said, because of your size, you're not going to be able to do it. You can't do it. And obviously, you did it more often than not. And Nick Foles is now on the biggest stage.
He's too tall.
Yeah, right. But for different, you know, he might look the part, but I'm sure, you know, everyone around the Eagles team is saying the right things. You know, we got confidence in Nick, and obviously he helped get him here. But, you know, and then the next breath, people are saying, Nick Foles against Tom Brady? Are you kidding me?
Well, with each week that he has started, he's gained confidence, and especially the way he played last 2 weeks ago. It's obviously he's not the experienced guy that Brady will be, and Brady's been in this scenario, this whole environment, many times before. So that's a big part of it, is being able to block out all the outside noise, focus on what's important, and play football. I'm not going to say there's no pressure on him because there is, but it's almost a no-lose situation for him. You're expected. Tom is the favorite. Tom's been there. Not a lot of high expectations from it. Go out and just relax and play ball. And if he can stay in that relaxed mode where he just focuses on what's important and not get caught up in the outside noise, he's got a shot. And, you know, Philadelphia is talented. This Patriots team is not the most talented in the NFL. They just find a way to win. And they've got Tom at the helm. So, you know, I would expect it to be a close game.
Well, think about all the stops that you've made in your career, Doug, and if you could, help us understand when you were in Chicago, it seemed like you were on the outside looking in. Was that because you were still young, you weren't respected, you had a guy here that was trying to keep you on the outside? What happened in your time in Chicago? And you talk about that New England team that you were with and the way they operated. What was it like with that Bears team that had the unbelievable defense?
Well, you know, that was it was an uncomfortable situation for me. I came in late in the year. Jim had been banged up and couldn't play, and Mike Tomczak was not playing great at the time. So Coach Dicker wanted to make a move and brought me in. And, you know, I was definitely an outsider. The team had won a Super Bowl together. They were tight. They knew each other. They're buddies that have been in the locker room. I think part of the animosity came because here's this outsider coming in, and coach is going to play him over a guy that's been here, you know, that's one of our guys. And that's what kind of crazy. So I just tried to keep my mouth shut and play football. And it was a little uncomfortable, but I still have a couple of friends from that team. And, you know, it was a great experience. It was just, I was not the most outgoing guy in the world, especially back then. I was a little bit shy, a little quiet, and just tried to take care of business.
You know, when you talk about defenses too, and, you know, obviously that's what the Eagles are going to hang their hat on. If they're going to win this thing, you know, Nick Foles, he can't make mistakes, but certainly if the defense isn't as good as it's been, they're probably not going to end up winning and hoisting the Lombardi trophy. But can you put in perspective what New England's defense is like? Because you said it's not the best Patriots team, but they do find a way to win, and we've kind of seen the good and the bad of the defense on the road in the postseason, right? They allowed the big leads, and ultimately they shut it down enough for Tom Brady to do what he does in the fourth quarter.
Right. You look at their second half numbers, I don't know what they are, but Bill makes halftime adjustments like nobody's business. I mean, they shut teams down. You go back to last year's Super Bowl, Atlanta walked the ball up and down the field all first half and the start of the third quarter. Then after that, nothing. And last week, or the Jacksonville game, was the same way. Jacksonville looked like they could score at will. And then all of a sudden you come out in the second half. Bill has kind of an A and a B game plan and waits until that second half to implement the other portion of it so a team can adjust to it. And he's had a knack for shutting people down in the second half. Tom makes his comeback. I always anticipate New England's offense getting it cranked up eventually, and Tom's going to get him in the end zone. But the variable was going to be, well, can they keep stopping Jacksonville? Can they keep stopping Atlanta last year in the second half? And that's kind of the way it's been. I was very, not surprised, but stood up and took notice that they played a little more man coverage and made some plays in man coverage on the last drive of the game last week, the fourth down knockdown pass. You know, you think of fourth down and what was somewhere around 15 yards, you're going to play zone, back off, make them throw it in front of you, come up and tackle, and the game's over. They decided to go man-to-man, and, you know, Jacksonville had a shot at that play. It was a great defensive play on the ball and knocked it down, so they're not afraid to play man coverage.
And, Doug, you're doing some work with Epson, right, the business solutions people?
Yes, Epson printers. I've been a small business owner for years, and you're always looking for ways to cut corners a little bit without sacrificing quality. And when you can do in-house printing, top quality, it saves money for you. And you know, whether it's printing signage, postage, it's the best. And then you talk about, well, one of the new things you're talking about is a fast photo, which is basically scanning of photos in this digital age.
Right.
So it's like front and back, a second a photo, and in and out. Basically, the one thing that's a lot of fun to talk about that we always talk about, people hate changing the ink cartridges on printers. And
tell me about
printer,
it.
It's out, yeah. Right? It's out of ink, but what do? You turn around and walk away and let somebody else do it, right? So anyway, they have an EcoTank cartridge system that could last up to 2 years without changing their cartridge.
Wow, because, you know, at home, every time I try to print anything,
it's as low as it won't operate. Right. Yeah. Seriously, it won't operate. Got to replace the cartridge.
Always at it. And you just don't want to do it. You don't. Well, number one, if you're at home, you got to run to the store.
Yep,
if you're in an
never
office,
have
if you're in an office, you just walk away and look for somebody else to do it.
That's so true. Doug, thank you, buddy. A real pleasure to catch up with you.
All right. A lot of fun. Thanks guys.
Doug.
That is Doug Flutie, Heisman winner and Notre Dame heartbreaker, Notre Dame analyst. That's Dustin. Mully and Hanley, we're going to keep it going. We've got a lot of people to talk to, and we're delighted to be getting to that and getting to everyone as we move forward. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Paul Basir is the general manager of PredictionMachine.com. He joins us now. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are we're going through Groundhog Day with the Patriots, as Brian said. what do you reckon? Is this the time they end? What does the machine think? What Predictilator predicted it? What it ran it 50,000 times? Come on.
Yep.
What does it tell us?
It tells us that all this line movement we've seen over the last 2 weeks may be very relevant because our number is right in the middle. 28-23 is the prediction. The Patriots win 61% of the time. We've seen the money consistently coming in on Philadelphia, actually, and I do get it to some degree, especially when that was our pick when the line was originally as a 6-point favorite for New England. But the Philadelphia Eagles are better, as good as or better than the Patriots at every single unit except for quarterback. I get that. They've got the kind of team that can get pressure on the QB without having a blitz that tends to give Tom Brady and the Patriots trouble, but it's still Tom Brady. And in our numbers, in our projected box score, we have the Eagles outgaining the Patriots on the ground by 30 rushing yards and half a yard per carry, but then the Patriots outgain the Eagles by 70 yards through the air and 2 yards per pass attempt. Too big of a difference there. We do have the Patriots winning. We do like the over as really the only bet among those that are directly related to the game score. Otherwise, though, of course, we've got your national anthems and your individual player props and everything else broken down for you on the site as well.
So, Paul, you have a 5-point spread, and in the seven Super Bowls that Brady Belichick have been part of, 6 points or fewer have been the decisive margin of victory, 3.7 points on average, and in the other 44 Super Bowls, 15.8 points on average. What is it about the Patriots that they play it so close? And you know, we know that the Brady comeback drives in the fourth quarter and overtime, but why is it, speak to their style of play? What is that, just some sort of odd trend?
Well, I think to some degree it's an odd trend, but if you think about their early Super Bowls, this was a team that I think one of the most underrated pieces of the New England dynasty is that this was not a team that was very good offensively for its first three Super Bowl wins. It was a very good defensive team, and Tom Brady did, and the offense did what it needed to win. It was different come 2007 when there was a massive shift, and when you see now this year, you have a team that's very good offensively, but actually has some really weak and poor numbers defensively. And so before this year, a lot of the games that were played between the Patriots and their opponents were games where the offense really wasn't necessarily that good, and Tom Brady ultimately led the team to a victory, or you know, we saw with the Giants. The Giants were able to get pressure on him and keep that game close and competitive. So I think you see that we've had pretty close games. Now, that 15.8 that you mentioned in terms of the overall margin for the games that didn't involve the Patriots also includes the entire 80s and early 90s, mm-hmm. which were almost exclusively blowouts. And what we've seen recently is a trend toward closer games, whether it's the Patriots or otherwise.
What about, I mean, obviously you like the over. What about, is there any props that jump out at you? Those are the fun ones.
Yeah, exactly. We can get to the Anthem and Timberlake and Pink in a second. But in terms of the game, because you know I've got that taken care of. But in terms of the games itself, it ends up, even though we like the over, it ends up following a path where I think there's inflated expectations on the passing game and currently undervalued or underrated expectations on the running game, meaning we have the under when it comes to everything related to Brady and Foles passing. So under on yards, under on attempts, under on completions. We do expect that there is value in yes on interception for both of those. And we do have the under on longest touchdown, despite the fact that the Eagles were in a fairly explosive offense, and obviously the Patriots were as well. In more than 70% of the games that either of these two teams played, there was not a touchdown of over 40 yards. And so I think you won't see, at least in our expectation, these explosive plays that lead to these long touchdowns. It's more sustained drives that both of the teams offensively are looking for. On the over, it's the other side of that conversation. Sustaining drives requires carries, it requires running game, and it requires some running backs. And both Jay Ajayi and Deion Lewis over on rushing yards are incredibly strong plays for us. We actually have Jay Ajayi as the third most likely MVP and the best value at MVP, and for rushing for almost 90 yards in our projections, despite the fact that the line currently is only at about 62.5 for his rushing yards. The only other big over as it relates to individual player stats on the game is Steven Gostkowski points, which is the current line is at 8.5. And we're projecting over 10 for him. So even though it's 28-23 in the predicted score, we do actually think that a lot of field goals are going to be made and that isn't just always for touchdowns.
Paul, when you run these 50,000 simulations, do you play it quarter by quarter, or does it just give you a result? Because now you have in-game wagering, right? So people want to take a position, or maybe they don't take a position before kickoff. They wait and see how the first quarter, the first couple of drives go. How do you handle that, and is there any value in how a game would start and how you would react to it if you're wagering in-game?
Yeah, and this is free, so I hope it would encourage people to go to Prediction Machine to check it out. We update the projected score after every single play, and that's actually true of every sport. The live scorecaster technology is
after every
thing
snap,
I'm most proud of.
Wow.
Yeah, after every single play, we update the projected score, the likelihood of winning, and we even have an updated ability to look at money lines and spreads if you're getting them that quickly or that updated. Now, that's the answer during the game, and so there are opportunities for halftime wagering and at the end of core and in-game wagering, which used to be about, it actually makes up about almost 80% of all bets outside of the United States that are made during, or made for sporting events are actually made during the game, whereas in the U.S. it's now up to about 10% or so. So there is that opportunity in some places, but it's still relatively rare relative to the rest of the other markets. But that's the in-game portion. I do have it also broken down as of right now for what look the first, second, third, fourth quarters look like. And our projected scores after each quarter for those that might be looking at a entertainment only or entertainment purposes only pool of some sort. 7-3 is the score, most likely score after the first quarter, the Patriots winning. Then it's 17-10. Then 21-17, and then we see the 28-23. So consistently the Patriots ahead, but 7-3, 17-10, 21-17, 28-23 sees that margin for them kind of goes back and forth between about 4 and 7 points throughout the entire game.
All right, so let's get to the fun ones. What do you think about Pink and the national anthem?
Did
and
you
all
find
the
a video
ones?
Of that?
I didn't, but I've got plenty of analysis, of course, here. So historically, the average national anthem outside of the Super Bowl, if you just played the music the way that it was written, the national anthem should take about 1 minute and 42 seconds. We've talked now, I think, for like 8 years that the Super Bowl singers tend to go about 15% longer than that average historical number just for the Super Bowl as well. That gets you to 2 minutes, which is what this is set at. I did not find Pink, many examples of Pink singing the national anthem, but I did find her doing covers that other people that have sung the national anthem have done and that the original artists obviously have done. And one thing I found about Pink is that she's consistently under on the time for songs like Bohemian Rhapsody, where she was 2 minutes shorter than Kelly Clarkson and actually like 10 seconds shorter than Queen's version. Mean Bobby McGee. She went 12 seconds shorter than Janis Joplin's version and consistently shorter than everybody else, Chris Gustafson and otherwise, that I saw. Time after time, she was shorter than Timmy Walker. She went Stay With Me, the Sam Smith song. She went like 20 seconds shorter than Sam Smith, who
she
just
didn't
released
stay that
that
long.
Song.
Yeah, she oh. said, I'm out of here.
She's more direct. I don't think that she's going to play this out. She's not the diva necessarily that we've seen from some of the other artists that is said with both respect and other connotations. And so I think she's going to go under. We like the under there. 152 is what I'm projecting for the national anthem because of all that research that I did that wow. says that she's never had any extra frills before. And speaking of no frills, plus 120, bet 100 to win 120 on her hair being predominantly blonde. Huge money there. I think it's far more than 50% likely. We just saw her at the Grammys with blonde hair, and she has not had predominantly pink hair since 2012, and that was only for like one tour. She has not had predominantly pink hair for an entire year since 2007. That's more than a decade. I feel good about her having blonde hair come Sunday.
Well, Blondie was already taken. So,
Paul, that is magnificent work, buddy. That is really above and beyond.
We appreciate it. Yeah.
We'll take that one to the bank. Thank you, buddy.
Enjoyed it.
Thanks, all right, Paul. That is Paul Basir. How about that one, huh?
Well, you know I'm on the green hair.
So. Yeah.
But you're breaking down covers of how she sang. I'm telling you, the National
covers
Anthem thing.
Beautiful.
That's pretty
I love
awesome.
The Super Bowl. God.
I do, too. It's so much fun. It's so much fun.
You guys didn't ask Paul if he was doing any work with Kay Jewelers or Epson.
Did you see Jerome Bettis was doing the deal? Did you see that? Representing Butter. He was there on behalf of Butter.
Oh, everyone likes Butter. Did your shirt?
I don't even think it was a butter maker. It was just butter.
Did you run out of
I like butter.
In cartridges when you put that shirt together or sweater? Or
I went through all of them. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Who are you? Yeah. Who are you representing with that?
Skull by Grimace.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hadley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Pompey is our man in Minneapolis. He's with Bleacher Report, The Athletic. Of course, you hear him on The Score. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. I'm coming out of the deep freeze. They've got the blowtorches on me, and I'm wow. trying to not chatter my teeth when I talk.
Yeah, it's freezing up there, right? I mean, it's like record cold, isn't it?
It's like 8 below. I don't think that's record for Minneapolis. I
thought it was colder.
Yeah, no, it's cold.
Without the wind chill, it's 8 below?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yes, it is.
That's pretty bad. Just yes, you know, from an outsider.
Adam Schefter posted on Twitter this morning, at the time it was 7 below in Minneapolis and 18 below in Antarctica, so we're not far from there.
Sure, yeah, 2020, the Super Bowl will be up there. We'll be there, yeah.
Well,
you know, instead of shuttles, they've got dog sleds taking us to the stadium on Sunday.
Well, obviously, we got to get your pick on the game. We got to talk about what you think is going to happen. What is the vibe up there with the team? Sometimes you can tell if a team's going to win. I know that sounds crazy, but there is a certain confidence that you read on a team.
Yeah, I don't know. I never really get that, I don't think. I don't know. Some people maybe feel that. I'm never that confident, but I do feel like the Patriots – have a lot going for them in this game. I've been really kind of curious about it. It seems like there's a lot of America waving the Eagles flag and betting the Eagles and very confident in the Eagles. And the Eagles are very confident. But, you know, when I look at what the Patriots have and what they do, who they are, I really think that, you know, they're a team that's built to win this kind of game. And I think, I know the Eagles are going to try to give the Patriots limited opportunities, and they probably will, but I think that the Patriots are going to be able to take advantage of those opportunities at the right times and make big plays when they need to at the end of the first half, the beginning of the second half, and then again at the end of the fourth quarter, especially through the air with Tom Brady, you know, working his magic like he always does.
We know starts to these big games don't mean all that much to the Patriots and Tom Brady because they've overcome everything, including last year's Super Bowl and the playoff games this year. But if the Eagles and Nick Foles don't come out and make some sort of positive statement in the first quarter, is that pretty much fait accompli then?
I don't know that anything's fait accompli. I think, you know, we learned that lesson last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the other team is always going to be in the game. And, you know, I've got a lot of respect for the Eagles, too, especially what they can do defensively. And I think a big key for the Patriots is going to be containing Fletcher Cox in the front of the Eagles, because they're, you know, they're strong, they're athletic, and they make plays and they create opportunities for the players in the back end of their defense. So, you know, that was the key for the Eagles against the Vikings, I think. And, you know, the Patriots are going to have to find a way to negate that, whether it be, you know, to defeat them physically or to out-scheme them and try to do some things to take the edge off of what the Eagles front can do defensively.
We had a really interesting conversation with Gerald McCoy earlier in the week, and he talked about playing against the Patriots and the way that they dealt with him. And he figures they'll do the same thing to Fletcher Cox, which is, he said that, you know, he couldn't go anywhere. They really bottled him up. He made some plays in the game, but every play they had somebody accountable to him, and usually double teams. And, you know, they did a really good job, he felt, of dealing with him. And, you know, they're different players, but they're both very influential. And that seems to be what Belichick can do, is maybe take away something that you do best.
Yeah, that's very interesting that McCoy said those things. And really, it would be very much in keeping with what the Patriots do. You know, they might not be able to have one player that's better than Fletcher Cox and one player that's able to defeat him physically, but Belichick's philosophy often has been, don't let their best player beat you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look back at their Super Bowl, first Super Bowl appearance of the Belichick era, it was against the Rams, and who was their best player? Marshall Faulk. What did they do? You know, they jammed him at the line of scrimmage. They wouldn't let him get off. They took him out of the game, basically, and that's how they won that Super Bowl. So I think they're probably going to do the same thing here. I think another key point, you know, they have got probably the best offensive line coach in football, or one of the best offensive line coaches in football, in terms of being able to scheme and game plan in Dante Scarnecca, and obviously a great play caller and game planner in Josh McDaniels offensively. So, you know, like I said, they're well prepared, I think, to be able to negate the primary strength of the Philadelphia Eagles.
What did they take away from the offense? If you were looking at that Eagles offense, what would you say they got to stop or they got to take away?
You know,
it's hard to pin something down because, you know, I guess you want the quarterback to try to beat you, so you want to stop the run, but that's really not who they are. It's just hard to, you know, stop Ertz.
I don't know. That's the strength of the Eagles offense, is its versatility, right? It doesn't have one star player that is really, you know, the guy that you put all your resources in. So I think you try to have a balanced attack, and I think, you know, you try to play them honest, and you've tried to play them straight up. Obviously, you don't want them moving chains, and you want to contain the run so that you can have more opportunities. So I think, you know, I think it's a little bit different how they would approach them offensively from how they would approach them defensively. But I think, you know, you need to just keep them off the field as much as you can.
Dan, yeah, you're going to present the case for Brian Urlacher, and a couple of questions just in general terms. When you put these presentations together, you know, you've been a guy watching all these different players for all these years, and you, just like anyone else, you have an affinity for some and maybe not so much for others. But how do you go about objectively just looking at it without putting any of your emotion in it? And, you know, how do you figure out, like, the time of the presentation and what's too long and what's not enough?
Well, those are good questions. You know, I think you have to just do some of it by feel, Brian. You have to, you know, be honest to what your memory is and then also what your research tells you. Sometimes you just feel like you know things based on what you saw, and then sometimes you feel like kind of the world opens up to you when you start researching somebody and you start talking to people or you start looking at numbers or you compare people. I think, you know, it's a great thing that the Hall of Fame waits 5 years before a player is eligible, because in that time span, I think you get a lot of perspective. Time always gives you perspective, and that helps. In terms of the presentation itself, you want to strike the right chord between giving good information and the right information, and educating people about things they don't know, and not making it to the point where people's heads are starting to hit the table or you're losing them. So I think, you have to kind of strike the right balance between having enough information and not going too long.
Is it a political campaign, Dan? Do you have to work anybody in the room before you get there? Do you understand the different element, you know, the East Coast guys versus the West Coast guys versus the Midwest guys? I don't even know if there is such a thing. Is there a certain influencer you have to talk to? Do you have to kiss
a
ring?
Are there bumper stickers involved? buttons?
Well, I'd like to give you an Urlacher Hall of Fame button I've got here.
Urlacher as a linebacker. Yeah, that's the campaign motto. Yeah.
You asked a lot of questions there. I would say that certainly you talk to the other voters and you see where they stand and you want to get a feel for things and you want to hear what their opinions are. Not just about the candidate that you're presenting, but the other candidates too. So, you know, part of this process, I think, that makes it really good. And I wrote about the process in The Athletic this morning, as a matter of fact. There's a column that's just out. Part of what makes it work is that you've got this element of interplay, right? So we can all talk to each other. We could debate. And we could, there are many times I've gone into that room and I've learned things I didn't know, and I've changed my opinion on somebody, or I've shifted a little bit. So, you know, that's part of the process. So, you know, if that's what you mean by the political part of it, yeah, you know, that's there without a doubt. And yeah, there are, you know, you look at that, there are blocks of voters geographically, you know, and we don't have a lot of voters that represent the NFC North or that this region. You know, New York does have a ton of people out there because they've got obviously Jets people, Giants people, and they've got a bunch of at-large people who have worked in New York or live in New York currently. So, you know, is that an advantage for players who played for the Giants or Jets or East Coast? Probably is, because they have a greater appreciation for those players maybe than people who didn't see them all the time might.
So you said you don't necessarily pick up a vibe when you're there. So, but when you got to town, did you have an idea who you thought would win this game? And now that, you know, we know Gronk officially is in the game, anything changed or swayed your opinion to what's actually going to happen on Sunday? Close game, not so close. How do you see it?
Not really. You know, I think that the way I felt coming in is kind of the way I feel now. And that's that. The Patriots should win the game. I think they're the better team. I think, you know, what stands out to me about the Patriots defensively is, yeah, they gave up a lot of yards this year. At one point, they were one of the worst defenses in the league. But they ended up just best in points allowed. So, you know, again, it's kind of like their offense. They're doing things at the right time, you know, on third down, and in the red zone. They're finding ways to win the games. It's what they do, and I think they'll do it again here. I've got the Patriots winning this game probably by a score of 30-26.
Wow. High scoring. Yeah,
it's good. All right, Dan, thank you a ton, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Okay, it's been fun, guys. Talk
Stay
to you
warm.
Monday.
We'll talk to you Monday.
Right.
That is our guy, Dan Pompey. Really, you know, what can you say? It's fascinating stuff. We'll go back to Minneapolis. We'll bring in David Hall. We can talk to David about the Bulls trade, the big trade of Nico Mirotic, and we'll obviously get his pick on the Super Bowl and what he's seeing out there. Mully and Haley on the score.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.